Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 155, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. My heart is steadfast, O my King. My heart is tuned thy praise to sing. Awake my soul and swell the song. Let vibrant harp the notes prolong. And what follows? Psalter 155, the stanzas 2 through 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 26, the verses 47 through 68. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 26, the verses 47 through 68. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But now, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against the thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, and nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, and now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who was he that smote thee? Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. John Bazoyan, who has been discharged from the hospital, Justin, the youngest son of Mr. and Mrs. Peter Hengstemengel, who needs corrective eye surgery, the ongoing war in the Ukraine, and Mr. and Mrs. Brian Vandenbroek, who were blessed with the birth of twins, a boy and a girl, let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy great mercy and thy divine providence and in the way of thy patient long suffering, that we may see the dawn of another day, that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's day, another soul's mark a day. Each time on the Lord's day we may remember that he is risen indeed, and to that end there may be another Lord's day, because the King is still gathering a church. There are still those lying under the seal of election that must and shall be brought forth. And then each Lord's Day by renewal, then we and our children, then we do well when we may be given to reflect on another week, which so quickly has run its course, to reflect upon what thou hast done, where thou hast showered us with so many precious gifts from above, gifts which most of the people upon the face of the earth must miss, and then also given to reflect upon what we have done, how we have spent a week, whether we have thought much of thee, of our sins, and the necessity to be saved through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, to be given to reflect upon the shortness and the seriousness of life, to be given to reflect upon all our sins, our unthankfulness, Lord, when we may come up to thy house, and may it please thee to grant a broken and a humble heart under all the mercies of the Lord, where in the past week, where thou wast watched over the whole congregation, where thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, and where thou wast not only spared life, but where thou wast also given life, where thou wast blessed a father and a mother, where thou wast granted them a double blessing, where thou wast given unto them two well-born little children, ah, Lord, wilt thou then grant a broken and a humble heart under all thy goodness and under thy mercies, that they may be given to sprinkle their little ones with their tears, but not only a double blessing, also a double responsibility, were two souls traveling to a never-ending eternity have been entrusted unto them, and to that end may the prayers be multiplied, that they may be children born, to be born again, children for thy honor and for thy glory. Wilt thou strengthen the mother, where surely there shall be times with two little children, that as parents they shall be overwhelmed, but, ah, Lord, shalt thou then grant the blessings, and shalt thou then not grant strength from day to day? May that be experienced in their married life. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou remember the grandparents with her blessing and increased responsibility, we commend unto thee the barren ones amongst us. Lord, may it please thee in this morning hour and on this Sabbath day to richly bless thy word, where it is written in the scriptures that by the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save some. May it then please thee to bless thy word in this hour for the conversion of sinners. Ah, Lord, may sinners be arrested by thy holy law in this morning hour to receive a knowledge in beginning of thee, the judge of the heavens and of the earth, who art so good doing, but also so just. Ah, Lord, may seekers be born in Zion, but may it please thee to also grant the further leadings, that for thy people, that they may be given to meditate much, with the holy need, and to receive light upon the same, the steps of the suffering Savior, to see him in Gethsemane, but also where he was given to give himself as that substitute and surety, where he has declared those precious words, if thou seek me, let these go their way. Oh, that is a way that is so God-glorifying and so soul-saving. May thou grant unto thy children that by an eye of faith they may be given to look upon him who was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s. Oh, what is the work of the Spirit to teach thy children that nothing can be added and nothing need be added and nothing shall be added, that it is grace and grace alone, and that wonder only becomes greater for thy true people. Lord, wilt thou remember all those that are called to labor in thy vineyard, thy truly called servants, elders and deacons. Wilt thou also help and remember the students in this day stand on their right and on their left, and that they may be given to taste something of what they may handle. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth, that country that is rent asunder because of war, where there is death, where there are injuries, where there are the wounded, where there are the mourning, where there are the afflicted, where there are the fleeing, those that are filled with many cares and with many fears. But, wilt thou grant an open access to thy throne of grace? Wilt thou remember thy church in that country? And may they be given to experience in a time of war, that thou art a God that knoweth of them. Then thou art also speaking in a special way to that country. Ah, Lord, may it be richly used, that many sinners may be converted by thee unto thee, and that thy children may be given by thy Spirit, by thy grace, to be given to make their calling and election sure. And then what maketh us to differ, that in this morning hour, that we may so freely and unhindered come up to thy courts. Lord, we remember all the special needs. A father with a dreaded disease. Then he was dismissed from the hospital with grave and serious concerns. Oh, Lord, may he be given to cry unto thee, where it seems and that it cannot be so long, although also his times are in thy hand. Ah, may he be given to beg by thy grace, with that publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We commend him unto thee for body and soul, together with his dear wife, wherein this week they were unable to move, and how long they shall both be in that dwelling, it is all known unto thee. Lord, impress upon all our hearts that there is but one step between us and death. Then thou was granted to an old father that he has went to the hospital for a heart procedure, and now it awaits for thy blessing. Then we may humbly ask thee that it may be used, that he may receive a little strength, but he is frail. Wilt thou above all remember for the never-dying soul, remember together with his dear wife, wilt thou so remember all the afflicted, all under the physician's care, remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life, and, ah, Lord, do remember the mourning ones. Remember the crosses, the burdens. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. Ah, they are not out of thy reach. And wilt thou keep us and our dear children under the old truths and under the old ways, and with a solemn impression that we need that truth, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, to set us free. Lord, remember now in this morning hour, dwell richly amongst us. Wilt thou grant special tokens of thy favor? May it please thee to open thy word, anoint with fresh oil from above, that with freedom and liberty we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord, the works of a triune God, the works of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That is the only hope for us and our children, but it needs to be experienced. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou remember all the listeners, remember the little boys and girls, remember those at home that may listen along by church telephone, it all awaits for thy blessing, and that with a confession, Lord, that we have nothing to plead upon. We are but poor sinners, and it is so necessary that we become the poor and the needy sinner each time by renewal. And, thou wast promised in thy word that thou shalt hear such. May such have come up to thy courts, and this morning hour may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 92, the stanzas 4, 6, and 7. Unrighteous witnesses have stood and told of crimes beyond belief, returning evil for my good, they overwhelm my soul with grief. And what follows? Psalter 92, the stanzas 4, 6, and 7. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, Matthew 26, the verses 57 through 68, and we shall read the verses 63 through 66. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, and now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Our text words speak of the trial of Jesus, the Son of God, in the hall of Caiaphas with four thoughts. First, an arraigned Jesus. Secondly, a silent Jesus. Thirdly, a speaking Jesus. And fourthly, a smitten Jesus. The trial of Jesus, the Son of God, in the hall of Caiaphas. An arraigned Jesus, a silent Jesus, a speaking Jesus, and a smitten Jesus. Thus first, an arraigned Jesus. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day we were given to behold the suffering Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Father has given him the cup of wrath, and that cup was so terrible and so awful that he has asked his Father if it was possible that cup may pass by, nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Then Gethsemane preaches us that there is no other way to be saved than the way of the cross. May that lesson be learned by many in this season. Then first we need to be arrested and convicted that we receive a knowledge of the judge and how guilty we are, and that with all our efforts, with all our bowing, that we can never satisfy justice ourselves. Then it is necessary that from Gethsemane that souls may be led to the courthouse. We have read it together that a Judas with a great multitude have come, and Jesus, those precious words, not in Matthew 26, but in John 18, those words as the surety, if ye seek me, let these go their way. O people of God, what precious words, words of love. The willing Savior, that he was willing to take the place of his people. It was in the middle of the night, the thought midnight or later, and then it was necessary because the Sanhedrin had decided, it was their thoughts, that he must not be put to death during the feast of the Passover, lest there be an uproar, but also concerning the death of Christ, then it has been fulfilled what we read in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, that the Lord's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts different than our thoughts. But now he was arrested, and then it was their desire that he could be put to death before that the Passover celebrants would come to Jerusalem. Then also concerning the trial of Jesus, and that was not only in the time of Jesus, but that is in the time of all persecution, then we are given to read and to see when the church is persecuted, that the laws that the land has made, that they are twisted and no longer of force. Because among the Jewish people, it was the law that a trial could never be held during the night. The law declared that the day, the evening before a feast day, one may never be tried. And when one was convicted, then the execution would be on the following day. Thus we see with the trial of Jesus that they were trampling upon their own laws, and I repeat it, so it has been in the time of all persecution, and that shall become more evident and more visible when we come closer to the end of the world, and when persecution shall greatly increase against those that have respect to God's holy word and are given to walk accordingly and confess the same. Then it was necessary that the Sanhedrin in the middle of the night would be called together. And now in the meantime, it is clear in the scriptures that Caiaphas, that he was high priest that year, but that Annas is father-in-law, that he has also been high priest. And we know that it is written in the law of Moses that a high priest served till the end of his life. But the general thought is, because we read in Genesis 49 verse 10 that Christ would come before the scepter would depart out of Judah. And that has begun with his birth with the decree of Caesar Augustus, but that has become much more evident in the time that Christ would be crucified, that the Romans also had jurisdiction, who would be their high priest, and that the Jewish people could put no one to death without the consent of the Romans. And now concerning the trial of Jesus, while the Sanhedrin was being gathered, then they have brought him to the house of Annas. We could perhaps say he was high priest emeritus, and he still had great respect and much authority among the Jewish people. While they were waiting for the Sanhedrin to be gathered, then Annas has questioned Jesus with two questions. And that first question, that was concerning his disciples. What a question that was. For the suffering Savior, how many disciples do you have? Are they faithful disciples? Why are they not present with you in this evening hour? What a deep question. What a love is declared that Christ is so willing to suffer even to go the way of death for such a people, and that now becomes more and more the wonder for the people of God. And what an encouragement that is for those truly seeking souls that Christ has come to save sinners. And Paul has declared in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, of whom I am chief, concerning that question, Jesus has not given an answer. What a love of the Savior concerning the doctrine. Then he has declared that openly. He has declared the truth in the temple and in other places. When the Sanhedrin was gathered together, then they have all gathered in the house or in the court of Caiaphas. And we read of another disciple, the general thought is that it was John. And also with Peter around the fire. Thus the trial of Jesus before Caiaphas the high priest and the high, between Caiaphas the high priest and the Sanhedrin, that was with the Peter that would soon deny him. For the Sanhedrin, it was predetermined that Jesus must be put to death. Different reasons. There was that envy because that Jesus has received such a great following and that the popularity of the Pharisees that it was dwindling. In the second place, it was because that Jesus has honestly told the Pharisees and the scribes their sin after the parable of the husband in Matthew 21. Then we read in verse 45 that they perceived that he spoke of them. In Matthew 23, then we read seven times, woe unto thee, of Pharisees and scribes. We also read in the Gospel of John, that before when they have gathered, that there was also spoken that if Jesus would receive too many followers and they would have a desire, the Jews, to crown him king, that it would place the nation in great danger, and that the Romans would perhaps come and punish them severely. Thus the leaders of the Jewish people, with the intent to persecute Jesus and to put Jesus to death, there were also political elements involved. That is, so often in a time of persecution, then a government and a country shall not so quickly can come a time when they become very bold, that they shall say that they are persecuting the Christians, but many times, many then political matters, they shall be brought to the foreground. Then we may behold the Lord Jesus Christ before the Sanhedrin. Caiaphas, the high priest, as chairman, and then also when he is stood in that hall, in that courthouse, then we may see, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, then we read that his sweat has become as gray drops of blood. Thus, cannot be different, that the Savior was stained red. And now, congregation, may I now ask you the question, what we find in Matthew 22, verse 42, what think ye of Christ, when in this morning hour we may behold the suffering Savior, the innocent Savior, that he was arrested. He has willingly given himself over. He could have asked for 12 legions of angels, as we have heard out of this chapter, about the willing Savior, that he was willing to be arrested, that he was willing to be judged, although he was innocent. What think ye of Christ? What does it mean to us? Have we thought of this Christ in this past week? Have we thought of our sins? Because in this morning hour, when we may behold the surety in the courthouse of Caiaphas, so innocent and yet guilty, oh, that is for God's glory and for the salvation of souls. Our second thought, a silent Jesus, the Sanhedrin, they have come in a great difficulty. Jesus was arrested, was delivered into their hands, but now to put one to death, then there need to be reasons, so such a one may be convicted. And the Sanhedrin, they have tried for so many times and so long to catch him in his words, that they may have something to find, but they have found nothing. And to that end, then we have heard it. It is written in this chapter that they have sought out false witnesses. And then at the last, then we read that they have found two witnesses, because it is written in the law of Moses that for a person to be judged had to be under two or three witnesses. And then finally there were two witnesses, and they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Then concerning these words, in the first place, they have misquoted what Jesus has said in John 2 verse 19. They have said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy. Jesus has said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up. In the second place, they have misinterpreted the text, because it was clear when Jesus has spoken of his temple, our boys and girls can even understand it, that Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body, that it would be broken, referring to his death, and that on the third day, that he would rise from the dead. In the third place, even if Jesus has said what they have quoted, then still that was no reason to put one to death. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, no original sin and no actual sin, then he has stood before those accusers. He could have easily defended himself. Each time by renewal we read in the scriptures that Jesus, that he could have freed himself by actions and by words. Think when Judas has come that they have all fallen backwards. But then each time by renewal, then we read of the love and the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews 12 verse 2, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and as the willing servant of the Father, then he would finish the work which his Father has laid upon him, that his church may be saved, and that his Father's attributes, that he would be glorified, and that he would be harmonized. Then we read in our text, and the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. Why did Jesus now hold his peace? In the first place, then we read Proverbs 26 verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him, the Sanhedrin. They knew what they were busy with, trying to seek false witnesses. And even the two witnesses concerned the temple, no ground to convict the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second place, it was to fulfill prophecy, because I read in Isaiah 53 verse 7 that he was oppressed and afflicted as a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that openeth not her mouth. Then in the third place, then it was to declare that he was the willing servant of the Father. He was willing to suffer and to die, that his people may be set free. The silence of Jesus, that has much value and much instruction for the true child of God, because through that silence, then Christ by his Spirit has merited for his church that a guilty sinner, that they may become silent under the justice of God. Do we not read in Micah 7 verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord. Then in the second place, then Christ is merited for his people, which he grants by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, that the child of God, under trials and cross providences, that they may be given to bow, that there may be those times of submission. As I read in 1 Samuel 3 verse 18 of an Eli, when the Lord has given that solemn message to that little Samuel concerning the destruction of his house, the Lord doeth as it pleaseth him. Then in the third place, then through that silence of Jesus, then Christ is merited for his people, that their lips may be opened, because they read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, that the church may receive liberty, that they may be given to declare what a wonderful God they have, a triune God, how their sins have been pardoned, and that they have been set free. Through the silence of Jesus, then Christ is merited for his children, that here in beginning, that they may be given to sing the praises of the Lord, and in eternity it shall be in perfection. Congregation, what think ye of Christ, the Savior, falsely accused, false witnesses, but that he has stood silent? He could have easily justified himself. He could have spoken of his teaching, of his life. He could have repeated the words which he has asked in John 8 verse 46, who of you convinceth me of sin? Then there would not be one. But no, he has remained silent, because as the willing servant of the Father, then he was willing to go to the cross. And now in this courthouse, then he must be judged also church-wise, that at three steps, first under Annas, in her text under Caiaphas, and then officially in the early morning hour by the Sanhedrin, our third thought, a speaking Jesus. But first let us sing Psalter 21, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, be thou my helper true, for just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find. From truth and wisdom men depart, with flattering lips and double heart, they speak their evil mind. And what follows? Psalter 21, 1, 2, and 4. The trial of Jesus, the Son of God, in the hall of Caiaphas. And arraign Jesus, a silent Jesus, and now thirdly, a speaking Jesus. The Sanhedrin has come in a great difficulty. Christ delivered unto them a desire that he would be put to death, and yet they had no reason to put him to death. Of course, there was also much ignorance. And concerning the two natures of Christ, what a mystery. And undoubtedly also much zeal for the old ways. Nevertheless, congregation, did they now have an excuse for what they were doing? My unconverted fellow travelers, do you have an excuse to be unconverted? And then you can try to bring forth many false witnesses, hide behind election, that you are not Adam, that we live in dark times. But different old fathers have said, with your excuses, ponder over it, what shall become of them in the last day. And now concerning Caiaphas, whether it was a sudden thought that has come into his mind, or whether he thought he would use it as a last resort, it is not declared in the scriptures. But then we read that Caiaphas, I adjure thee by the living God, an oath that is before the living God. May we have an impression thereof when we make an oath also in the midst of the church. I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Most of the time when Jesus has spoken of himself, then he has called himself the Son of Man. But in his preaching, clearly declared that the Father, that he was the Son of the Father in heaven. And thus he was placed under oath. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he could not be silent, and he was not silent, because it concerned the honor of his Father and the salvation of his church. And to that end, he has spoken. What a contrast for the comfort of the church. When the Lord convicts, there can be those times that such a soul is afraid, that they have sinned too much, too greatly, sinned against the speaking conscience, sinned when they have denied the Lord who has been so good, has been so gracious can be that such souls that they come nigh to despair. But now what a love of Jesus before the Sanhedrin. The Lord Jesus Christ placed under oath, given to confess who he was, which would lead to the death on the cross, and then by the fire of Peter, who was promised so much that he would never be offended. In the way of conviction, how deep it can go. One such a soul from the bottom of their heart is given to promise to the Lord they shall never do it. And when they fall again, but now in the hall of Caiaphas, a Peter that with an oath that he has said that he knew not his master. Jesus saith unto him in Luke 22 verse 67, Jesus has also said, if I tell you, ye will not believe, nor let me go. Jesus saith unto him, thou was said, given to confess, the Son of God has assumed the human nature, and that for the saving of his church. But then he has immediately added, what a solemn word for the high priest, for the Sanhedrin. Hereafter, shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. High priest, Sanhedrin, shall not be the last time that we meet in this hall. You are the judged. I am to be judged. But there shall come a day when it shall be completely turned around. Then you shall behold me by renewal, not as the suffering Savior, but as the exalted judge to judge the quick and the dead. Then we would think, young and old, that the Sanhedrin, they would be awakened, that there would have been at least some that have fallen on their knees and asked for pardoning and for the prayers of the Son of God. But we do not read of one. May I ask you, what think ye of Christ? He may be proclaimed from Sabbath day to Sabbath day in the homes and in the school. That precious Savior that was so willing to come upon the earth that a church may be saved, that sinners may be delivered, and our conscience shall tell us that we are all sinners, transgressors of the law. What think ye of Christ? Has that now taken place, that we were given to bow, that we were humbled, that we were convicted, that we were given to cry, whether there is yet a way for such a sinner as I am to be saved. Then we read that the high priest has rent his clothes, was forbidden in Leviticus 21 verse 10, but in times of persecution, then former laws many times, they have no longer value. And now concerning the high priest, we shall not judge whether it was in a way that he was troubled because that mystery of the two natures of Christ, the son of Joseph and Mary, to be the Son of God, so unfathomable, or whether it was in a hypocritical way, that he was yet glad, but yet to show a little anguish, we shall leave it lie. Our forethought, smitten Jesus, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, and now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death, was a consensus. We read of Joseph of Arimathea that he has not consented, whether he was even present, and Nicodemus is not written in the scriptures. He is guilty of death. Are there souls in my midst that are so busy in that courthouse and convicted, condemned? Death before your eyes, and that you were given to cry for mercy. May then in this morning hour, you may be given to behold that precious Savior, so innocent, not one sin, and yet he was condemned to death. Therein lies the salvation for a people that is laboring under death. Oh, when the Spirit convicts, then we only become a greater sinner, given to bow under the justice of God. And then the Lord, because that people, they learn to love the Lord and all his attributes, also as justice, and yet a cry, whether there is a way that they may receive the pardoning of their sins. And in our text words, oh, then behold the Lamb of God. In our chapter, in the great day of atonement, then the high priest, he would lay his hands upon that goat, symbolically transferring the sins of that people upon the goat. And so in our text words, we read that the innocent Jesus, he was pronounced guilty. Oh, for a purpose, for a people that is guilty of everything, condemned worthy, laboring under death, then in our text words, a way may be declared that sinners, and with the glorifying of God's attributes, oh, the sinner that is guilty, laboring under death, then through our text words, through that precious Savior, a way is declared that the sinner may be pronounced free, because the Lord is so just and holy, He shall never punish sin twice. And now for His people, He has punished the same in His only begotten Son. And then, what have they done? Then we read that they spit. Then they spit in His face and buffeted Him. And others smote Him with the palms of their hands. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that they blindfolded Him, asking who was smitten Him. Thus in our text words, examined concerning the Son of God, His priestly office. And now when they have blindfolded Him concerning His prophetical office, the depravity and the enmity of the natural heart. How is it, congregation, with that spitting, with that blindfolding, and with that smiting? There's a blessing when the Lord still restrains us, when we may have a tender conscience, that we often think of these things, that we come in secret places, and we ask the Lord to remember us with the favor that He bears unto His people. What a terrible thing it is when we are given more and more over to ourselves, and that we resemble that Sanhedrin and those that were present, when, as it were, blindfold the Lord, that we think He seeth and He heareth not. What a terrible thing it is when we are given over, that we no longer respect God's holy word, all of His word, that we despise Him, that with our disobedience and with our worldly life, that as it were, that we smite the Lord, and that as they have done, that they spit. A saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who was he that smote thee? When the Lord works, and the Lord grants more light, and leads a little further, then the church is given to see that it was their sins, that is a repenting church, that is so missing in the days in which we live, that true and godly repentance that worketh a true reformation. But now that people shall learn that with all their repentance and with their works, that they are a sinner still, 'tis necessary for the child of God to learn that it is their sins that have brought them to the cross. What a rich gospel in our text words, young and old. May I ask you by renewal, what think ye of Christ? Let me first ask you, what think ye of his word? Has that word ever become powerful in our lives? Has it become a living word? Has it become a true word? Has it become a convicting word? What think ye of us people? Have we been filled with that holy jealousy? What think ye of us law? Where that law is so holy already. For two times we have stood at the foot of Mount Sinai. In this evening hour, when the Lord granteth for the third time, have we truly become guilty? Have we learned to mourn? Have we learned that the Lord is just, that satisfaction needs to be made by us or by another? Has it become hopeless from our side? Have we learned that by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight? What think ye of Christ? Oh, then in our text words, then it is declared a salvation so rich and free for us and our children, but congregation, it needs to be applied, because by nature it was the same as in Bethlehem, there was no room. And to that end, in our chapter, oh, it is declared for the church what I read in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Once more I ask you the question, and take the question home. What think ye of Christ? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, what a wonder of salvation that is also declared in the hall of Caiaphas. Well, to make room in the hearts of us and our children for that precious Savior, by the uncovering work of thy Holy Spirit, and that for thy children, by the eye of faith, they may be given to behold him that is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s, O Lord. What shall it be if we reject such a salvation, and then on the great day of judgment, to be given to behold him as an angry judge? Wilt thou remember us on this Sabbath day? Wilt thou keep us over the unsafe roads? May the important question be pondered. May it be spoken about. What think ye of Christ? Return us in this evening hour Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 110, the stanzas 1 and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a male members meeting on Thursday, March 24 at 7:30 p.m. This will be to share information and possibly beginning another congregation in the Iron Springs area. The prayer day collection brought up the total sum of $158,165, for which we, next to the Lord, heartily thank the congregation. And the insight into is at the exit. Psalm 110, the stanzas 1 and 3. Save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.